We welcome to this campus for their annual meeting the Eastern Baptist Religious Education Association and their president, Dr. Michael Harton, who is a professor in the School of Religious Education at the Southern Seminary in Louisville, broke away from their meeting at my request to be here and to lead us in prayer at this time. Dr. Michael Harton.
Doctor, the Eastern Baptist Religious Education Association meets annually for the purpose of fellowship and professional enrichment. We have met traditionally at Ridgecrest in the summertime, but the membership 3 years ago decided to experiment with rotating our meeting sites. We met last year on the campus of Southern Seminary in Louisville and came this year to Southeastern. And we're glad to be here. We appreciate the invitation. We appreciate the beautiful weather that you have afforded us. And we're glad to be here and hope to see some of you who will be in the field of religious education among our ranks in the future. May we pray together. Our Father, we pause to acknowledge you as Lord of our lives and to give thanks for your watch, care, and guidance, for your goodness in so many ways, for the special gift of fall and this unusually beautiful weather. O God, as we behold the beauty of this day, may we be especially sensitive to the beauty of the crown of your creation, our brothers and sisters, fellow sojourners about us. May we, through the ministry of the Spirit within each of us, be quick to minister to one another. May we, as persons feeling special call to your service, realize that we must first be before we can do, and that others will follow best our example. Make us aware of your presence in this time together, that our celebration of worship may be complete. In Christ's name, amen.
Whether it is in service on the steering committee of the White House Conference on Families or serving in a position of religious consultation for the television and other media, or writing or speaking on the platform of the Southern Baptist Convention, our speaker this morning is on the front line of Christian social responsibility, Dr. Harry Hollis of the Christian Life Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, is a personal friend, a Christian brother, and a colleague in the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. We welcome him always when he comes, and following the anthem, Dr. Hollis will bring the message.
Thank you. Dare we talk about joy in tragic times like these? In November 1951, Norman Rockwell painted one of his most famous pictures, which appeared on the cover of Saturday Evening Post. It was entitled Saying Grace. It was set in a dingy train station. And there in the restaurant in that train station was the scene of folks sitting around crowded tables filled with dirty dishes at lunchtime. In the middle of the crowd, at a table occupied by several other strangers, sits a grandmother and her young grandson. And as the food has just been delivered to their places, they have their heads bowed and they are saying grace. Rockwell paints a scene of two men sitting across the table from them, and one is ignoring them virtually and continuing to smoke his cigarette, while the other is looking with an expression of, how in the world could you be saying grace in a place like this? Look at the dirty dishes and look at the shabby clothing of the people round about you, and look at your own condition. How in the world can you be giving thanks in this kind of a place and in this kind of a world? The picture that captured the hearts of many people and has lived on in the minds of people through the years and still strikes a responsive chord today, for there are many of us who would say, given the kind of tragedies that we see in the international situation, given the kinds of personal griefs and pains that we bear ourselves, given the kind of loneliness that too often gnaws away at our spirits, how in the world can anyone talk about joy? I remember from my days, Dr. Carlton, in seminary chapel at Southern Seminary, that I always wished that when a visitor came, that visitor would try to speak to the contemporary situation in such a way that it would speak to the needs of my own soul. I also hoped that that person would not pull out some yellowed notes and do something that had been done a half a dozen different places in a half a dozen different ways. And finally, I hoped that those visiting folks coming in would try to remember that I had worshiped leadership responsibilities myself, and if they said something that would help me get ready down the line somewhere, I would be especially grateful. And so with those three guidelines in mind, I come to you this morning to talk about joy and thanksgiving in the midst of pain. For many people in our midst find themselves in such complicated situations that they see no way out. Mark Twain wrote a short story, and he kept getting the plot more complicated and more involved until finally he wrote for the final paragraph, "I have gotten these characters in such a fix that I see no way out for them. You, dear reader, are welcome to try." End of story. Many people with whom we work and minister, and many of us ourselves would have to confess that our lives have gotten so twisted up and so complicated that we really see no way out of the dilemma that we're in. We certainly see no way to have much joy and thanksgiving along the way. So when people find themselves in situations like this, they often go looking for diversions and looking for false resources to give them hope and help. I remember reading in the book Remote Control by Frank Mankiewicz about the fact that when Robert Young began to play Marcus Welby, M.D., that he got in the first 2 years 400,000 letters asking him for medical advice. I was astounded by this, and I asked a friend, "Do you believe that 400,000 people wrote a television actor playing a doctor and asked him for medical advice?" And my friend said, "Of course I do. He answered my letter." People go to strange places to try to find resources for help, but I suggest to you that there is indeed a place where we can find help in understanding how to express thanksgiving joy in the midst of troubles and even persecutions. Let us look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. Inexpressible, unutterable joy in the midst of persecution. This is what the text is about, for here is persecution literature at its best. Here is a word of encouragement to those who are to undergo severe testing of their faith and severe trials, and it is a word that echoes through the centuries until it comes to us today as we are caught up in various personal trials of our own and as we are caught up in trials related to society and the international situation. Here is a word that speaks to us about the importance of expressing joy. It is a joy, then, that we can have, I believe, because it is a joy that comes to us as we see that Christ shows us the way to genuine fulfillment. It is Christ who teaches us that the way we have joy and happiness and fulfillment in life is not to embark upon a self-help campaign to try to feel better about ourselves, not to engage in some sort of narcissistic binge where we look for ways to improve who we are. Rather, Christ shows us a way of giving ourselves to others totally and completely, thus finding joy coming to us as a byproduct of self-giving. Ours is a society that focuses upon self. I was delighted with Jack Klugman when he played in The Odd Couple and mystified with him as he worked through the various trials and tribulations of Quincy. But now in that commercial where he talks about buying a copy machine for the most important person in his life, himself, I am disillusioned. But what Jack Klugman says in that commercial so blatantly, many of us would have to confess is actually the way we structure our lives, a preoccupation with ourself and receiving instead of a preoccupation with others and giving, and that is the way of Jesus Christ. And it is in that way that the genuine joy about which we can have thanksgiving is truly found. Camus tells about a lawyer walking down by the river one night, and a young woman is in the water drowning and calling out for help, and he hears her cries but fails to go and rescue her until at last her cries fade as she sinks beneath the surface of the water. And many years later, the lawyer returns to the river and cries out, "Oh, young woman, throw yourself again in the water that I might have a chance to rescue both of us. We can have joy because we know that the way to find meaning and fulfillment in life is the way of Jesus, the way of giving ourselves in service to others. We can find joy in times like these because we know that through Christ we can have hope to deal with whatever troubles we have to face. Emily Dickinson said, "Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all." And I must say to you that there have been times in my life when I did not know the words. I did not have the answers. I faced difficulties that were beyond me. And all I could do was try to sing the tune without the words. And it is that hope in the midst of pain and trouble that comes to us that enables us to have inexpressible joy. It is a joy that is a manifold joy. It is interesting here that there are two words translated varied are manifold in this chapter. One describes the trials which we face in life in verse 6, 1 Peter 1:6, we find that we will be distressed by various trials. And then over later on, we read that we will find the manifold grace of God. The word is used again to describe the grace of God. Manifold trials, manifold grace. The translation might better be multicolored. We have multicolored trials and tribulations in life, but for these multicolored, varied trials and tribulation, there is the grace of God, which is multicolored and varied as well, and thus can enable us to meet these trials that come to us, enable us to sing the tune without the words. If Scott Peck says anything important in the book, The Road Less Traveled, he says that at some point we have to learn that life is not fair. Life is not just. And once we can learn this lesson, then we can get on with finding out how to deal with life. And the way we cope with the injustices of life, which have come to many of us already and will hit all of us sooner or later, is through the grace of God, the hope that comes in Jesus Christ, who enables us to walk through these trials and to survive them. And thus we have hope in the midst of our pain to see us through the difficult days when all we can do is sing the tune without the words. Finally, I suggest to you this morning that we can have joy in times like these because we can celebrate our salvation in Jesus Christ. We can celebrate the salvation that comes to us through Him. I saw a cartoon of a middle-aged man, probably about 45 years old, wearing bifocals, who is sitting over in the corner with his head between his hands in great distress, and his wife is holding the children back away from him, and she says to the children, "Children, don't bother your daddy right now." He finally got it all together and discovered that it was not enough. There are many who get it all together only to see that what they have put together is a paper world that will not meet the needs that they have and will not bring to them the true salvation and wholeness that they so earnestly and desperately need in order to make sense of life and in order to be able to celebrate as they go along day by day. a salvation that enables us not always to live waiting for things to get better out in the future, but rather enables us to live now, tasting the present and seeking as we go along to find salvation. I remember a delightful story of a rescue, which is not the kind of salvation, genuine salvation that I'm talking about, which related to a Thanksgiving scene where two families were getting together for the first time. The son and daughter were going to be married. They were in the daughter's home. It was quite an occasion. A turkey had been prepared, and the families were around the table, and at last it came time to bring in the great turkey and have the feast. And the daughter went to the kitchen and took the turkey and put it on the big platter and walked through the door and made her grand entrance into the room. And as she came into the room, she slipped on a rug there and fell, and the turkey went sliding off the silver tray onto the floor, and the great celebration was threatened with ruin. Until the mother, without missing a beat, got up, picked up the turkey, said to her daughter, "Don't worry about that, honey. We'll get the other turkey out in the kitchen." And with that, they went back into the kitchen, dusted off the turkey, straightened it up on the tray, and the daughter brought it back into the room, and they had their Thanksgiving celebration. But it will take more than cleverness like that to bring us the kind of wholeness that we need. Indeed, it will take the kind of self-giving, the kind of an inheritance which is available to us in Jesus Christ, an inheritance that we read here is imperishable, that is unravaged by an invading army. It is a kind of inheritance that's undefilable, that is, that no change or decay will take place in it. It is a kind of inheritance that's unfading. It is that which will see us through times like these, and which will enable us not only to have joy, but also to share that joy with others round about us. It is a salvation that is built not on what we are able to do ourselves, but a salvation that comes from the multicolored grace of God, who freely gives of himself to us in Jesus Christ. I was on a program one time with Loretta Long, who plays Susan on Sesame Street. She's a delightful lady, and after the program, we had an opportunity to talk. And she told me about her childhood in the Midwest on a dusty farm, and how there was poverty there, and one day she was on the porch with her mother thinking about the poverty round about her and the sparsity of the possessions that they had. And she looked up at her mother and she said, "Mama, someday when I grow up, I'm going to be somebody." Loretta Long said her mother picked her up in her arms and said, "Honey, you're somebody now." And that's the salvation that gives us joy. It's not a salvation based on what we're going to be able to do to earn it. Rather, it is a salvation based on the fact that we have it because it is a free gift of God to us through Jesus Christ. Dare we talk about joy in times like these? Given the salvation that comes to us through Jesus Christ, we dare not talk about joy.
Thanks be to thee, O God, for the gift of salvation that comes to us through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to thee, O God, for the joy, inexpressible, unutterable joy, that is ever ours
as we open ourselves to receive it through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.